Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warez.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's a Need to Know podcast. All thanks to the CIA Ops patron community. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at ciaops.podbean.com.
Welcome along, everybody, to the Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and this is episode 317. You can reach out to me after the fact via X, director at CIA, and also just via email, director at ciaops.com. For all the latest goings on from me and everything that I find in the Microsoft world, have a look at my blog, blog.ciaops.com. You'll find I also have a YouTube channel at Director CIA. And if you're interested, feel free to look at joining my team's share channel. There is a link in the show notes, but go to my blog and do a search for Join My Shared Channel. Happy to have you join along. Don't forget that you can also purchase some CIOps merch, again, some good statement t-shirts for your next event. And all of these resources are supported by the CIOps patron community, which you'll find at ciopspatron.com. So again, been a little while since we've been on the air here, been very busy for myself running around doing presentations all over the place. So finally got some time to sit down and actually crank out a podcast. I do apologize for that. But in the meantime, as with everything Microsoft, there has been a significant amount of news that hopefully I can bring you up to date with here. Now, probably the biggest news is that during the time period, Microsoft ran an online event called Microsoft Secure. I've got a link in the show notes there for a summary video Microsoft put out called Here's What You Missed from Microsoft Secure. Two major announcements, probably the biggest one is the fact that Microsoft Copilot for Security will be available on April the 1st. So recording this on the 30th, so in a day or two, we should have access to this. Now, Security Copilot, I think, is going to be super important because the volume of information that defenders need to reason across, to look across, to work with is just growing astronomically when you look at all the services, all the logs they created. So having an AI service that's able and focused on looking at the logging information that is being provided by security, I think, is very, very important. And I don't think that human beings can really get across that amount of information. Now, throwing AI at it, I think, is a great solution. And from what I've seen here, Copilot can, you know, not only provide summary for incidents, it can, you know, also reverse engineer scripts, it can pull information from disparate sources, link them all together, and help you understand the attack. But what I also see is this capability to work with products like Intune to make your environment more secure. So one of the many challenges that people have is setting up, managing, and, you know, getting baselines set up in Intune. Now, Copilot, from what I see, is going to be able to allow you to, you know, query your policies, be able to have a look at any conflicts, do troubleshooting, and also be able to create new policies in Intune without having to exactly know everything, all the ins and outs of Intune. So it's going to be really, really handy for people to get up to speed. Now, Microsoft is also going to provide playbooks. So playbooks are a series of prompts that you can give the AI to complete a task. So if you want to go and do a baseline for your environment, you can run this prompt book or use this prompt book Microsoft will make available to you to secure environment. So it's sort of moving from a world of having to write scripts and run scripts to a world where we're all about prompts. Now, the big news, I suppose, with Copilot for Security is that it's a pay-as-you-go service. So it's not a flat fee per month as Copilot for Microsoft 365 is. It's going to be basically an Azure service, which means that you will just pay for what you use, which is really good. Now, Microsoft have touted the cost of what they call a security unit, which is their billing unit, to be only $4 a month. Now, there's a bit of lack of clarity here when it comes to the pricing on this, because recent media from Microsoft seems to indicate that you will need to have that, you know, billing unit, that $4 a month running 24/7, 730 hours in the month, so the whole 30 days, for Copilot to be effective. Now that's going to add up to, you know, probably $3,000-ish. That's a lot of money to spend if you just want to get Copilot. Now, until we actually get the hands-on product and actually have a look at it and determine what's required, what's not required, is that in fact, you know, that background process required to run 24/7, or are there some acceptable trade-offs to be made? We won't know. So again, I'll certainly be diving in that on the 1st of April, getting it all spun up in my environment, having a look at it, working out the pricing and reporting back. So keep your eye on that. But again, it's a per, it's a consumption-based billing. So you pay for what you use. The only thing that we need to clarify is around this billing unit being run 24/7 in the background. So again, we'll have a play with that and report back. But I have the article, the couple of articles there from Microsoft announcing this new Security Copilot and, you know, all the resources around it. Some YouTube videos in there for you to also go in and have a look at, get some feel for it. But if you haven't seen any of this material, I certainly commend you to go in and have a look and get up to speed with this, because I think this will be big. It's going to cut down the amount of resources people need to invest to be across, you know, an environment to make it more secure. So go and have a look at that. And if you are interested, it will be available via Azure from the 1st of April. So again, if you need to go and have a play with it, that's where you can do that. Now, the other thing that caught my eye in this Microsoft Secure was this announcement of the Microsoft Security Exposure Management. So if you go into security.microsoft.com, you'll find this exposure management is now available to everybody across the Microsoft space. So in here, the idea is sort of to look at your attack surface. So you can look at your internal threats, your external threats. You can set up, you know, a different links to maybe your on-prem infrastructure to view across that. Then that's going to show you the attack surface map. You can be able to drill into that and so on. Now, what I really like is its integration with something like Defender EASM, which I've always touted that people basically should have. So that, if you haven't looked at that, that's a service that basically does automated pen testing from via Azure through your environment. All of that's linked in this environment. They also give you, you know, the ability to manage critical assets. They give you the ability to look at attack paths. They can optimize your, you know, security posture. They can give you warnings, you know, give you a nice little dashboard there. And you can also go in here and, you know, use these, what they call initiatives. So initiatives, I suppose, are a way that you could look at. So the good one example here is the business email compromise. So that initiative would look at the security items or services and how they're configured to help you reduce the incident of business email compromise. So again, I like this concept of these initiatives and how it integrates with a lot of frameworks and best practices and approaches to, you know, make you secure against the most likely attacks. Now, we've got ones in the initiatives there for ransomware protection. We've also got them, you know, for a variety of other items as well. We've got cloud security, asset protection, and so on. So at the moment, like I said, I haven't played extensively with this, but you do get a, you know, a capability in every environment. You can obviously extend that with integration with your own tools or your own environment. So go in, have a look at that. You'll find that in security.microsoft.com, and the link to that will certainly be in the show notes as well. Now, another announcement from Microsoft is a new business range of devices. So it's basically come out and released a Surface Pro 10. It's also got a Surface Laptop 6. So these new ones that they've announced are aimed at business users. Apparently, a consumer version of both of these will be available shortly, or they'll be announced shortly. But these ones are focused on business. So if you go to store.microsoft.com, you'll find these listed. You can go in, pre-purchase these, have these ready to go. Now, the big thing that Microsoft's touting in this is that it has a neural processing unit, an NPU, built in to the device. So in theory, this is going to allow local AI workloads to be processed. Now, I'm not sure whether the MPU really can be taken advantage of just yet, but, you know, down the track, we see the ability of offloading a lot of this AI calculations or processes, let's call it, into a dedicated chip, the NPU. So buying that's going to probably future-proof that when it does become fully available. Now, Microsoft has also, and again, big touting from Microsoft is now it has its Copilot key, which is to the right of the spacebar. That will then launch Copilot, you know, on your desktop or whatever from there. So go in, have a look if you're in the market for a new PC. Like I said, Microsoft has a new Surface Pro 10 as well as a, you know, a new laptop version 6 as well. So now another announcement from Microsoft is the new Microsoft List Forms experience. So this allows you to effectively layer a Microsoft-style form over the top of a SharePoint list. Now, that means that if you've got a SharePoint list with certain columns in it, you can basically quickly and easily create that into a form. Now, from what I see and what I've read, this form is only available internally. You can't link it quickly and easily externally. I think that will come, but at this stage, from what I see, it's currently only for internal users here. But it is a really handy feature if you have a list, you want to capture that information, you've already got the list in the columns that you want, clicking a few buttons, setting this up and allowing it to create a form based on this, where the data then is also saved directly back into the Microsoft list, is a super handy capability. Another new update is around Planner. So Planner is currently, or the new Planner in Teams is now in public preview. Now, over the time, Microsoft has been trying to consolidate its task management capabilities via, you know, list item apps like To-Do, Outlook Task, Planner, Project, and so on. So this is sort of, I think, the first step towards Microsoft's longer-term vision of how it wants to position Planner. From what I see, they're basically going to have, you know, a personal planner. So that's going to be the To-Do style environment that we're used to, Outlook tasks and so on. Then they're going to have this Teams planner, which is going to be included in every suite. And that's going to give you sort of what we see today with the Planner app in Microsoft 365, but with a newer style, updated interface. And then they're going to come out with Planner, the Planner Pro. Planner Pro seems to be a bit like Project Lite. So you're going to get the Lite capabilities or basic capabilities when it comes to project management. And then on top of that, you know, you're going to also have the fully blown Microsoft Project. So the Planner environment for Microsoft probably is still a work in progress here, something to think about, pay attention to if you are interested in doing that. It's going to undergo, by the looks of it, a number of changes here. And the article that I've listed here is really worth a read if you want to know what's going on with Planner, where it's going, what the direction is, and also if you want to sign up for the preview so you can actually go in and have a play with this sort of stuff. And I will admit that the interface does make it much cleaner, much easier to use, and more consistent across, you know, that environment. Now, Microsoft, again, has been talking up the importance of security and, you know, basically locking down your data to overcome, you know, things like Copilot surfacing data, which you may not expect. The service Microsoft will tout for this is Purview. And I have an article here called Troubleshoot and Manage Microsoft Purview Data Loss Prevention. Data loss prevention basically is an outbound scanning technology that will look at the content of your data, look for sensitive information types, things like driver's license, tax file number, medical information, and then, you know, apply a policy to it. Now, that policy you would go in and set before. So you would say, look, I don't want any credit card information leaving my organization or being copied or moved from my devices. That DLP policy will come down. Now, the good thing here is that the DLP policy can work, you know, standalone across the service. We can also have it integrated with a DLP, and we're also going to see down the track the ability to do this also with conditional access as well. So my advice would be, if you are interested in DLP and it is becoming a growing necessity, I think, in many businesses to be able to control this information and remember that if you are planning to use Copilot, that it's going to be very, very important for you to be able to control the information. DLP is the easy option for that. Now, of course, you can use Microsoft Information Protection, the old Azure Information Protection as well, if you want to do that. But DLP is the simple, easy way, largely, to go and achieve a lot of this. So I would certainly recommend you go in and have a look at that if you do have some interest or you want to understand how best to go and set it up, especially for device DLP. Most people have got the normal DLP via the emails and SharePoint and what under control, but device DLP is a little bit different because that's Microsoft's recommended approach to managing information on devices which aren't Entra ID joined. So you can apply this device DLP to prevent things like copying information to USB drives where you don't actually manage the device or you don't have it, for example, connected to Intune. So also on this idea of controlling the information and what Copilot can surface and report in your environments, Microsoft's got an article here called Introducing Restricted SharePoint Search to Help You Get Started with Copilot for Microsoft 365. So one of the big challenges when people do put in Copilot is they don't realize that their permissions, their data environment isn't quite as secure or locked down as they thought, and Copilot's effectively just going to be like a search engine on steroids. It's going to potentially, surface the information. Again, it's not magically making it appear. It's not breaking permissions. It means that, if your data isn't secured and permissioned appropriately, then like search, Copilot's going to find this information. Now, this article here indicates that if you want, you can go in and say, look, don't look at these particular areas, thanks Copilot, and it will reduce, the surface area that Copilot actually works against. Now, that is going to obviously limit how effective Copilot is going to be, but in another way, it's going to then allow you to put Copilot in and then grow those areas once you've fully secured, that information in your Microsoft, 365 style environment. So again, I think it's really, really important to, understand that, Copilot magically doesn't make, stuff happen. It's a matter of, just utilizing a lot of the resources that are available, to the environment. Now, if these are open to anybody using these, then, that information potentially, will be surfaced. So we want to make sure we lock that down. We provide, the ability to do, information protection, DLP. And in this way, we're also going to, limit the part of the capability of this to be crawled across that, that information. So again, have a look at that article. Will be in the show notes for you to go and have a look. Now, just a quick one on another little technology I've been playing with here recently called Global Secure Access. This is part of Entra ID and is available if you have Entra ID P1 and or P2. This is basically, I suppose, you put an agent effectively on your devices. Now, there is an agent for Windows, Mac, Android, and iOS. Now, the Mac and the iOS are currently in private preview. They're not fully available just yet, so haven't been able to put those in. But the Windows stuff certainly have been able to do. The whole global secure access environment is still in preview, but you can certainly go in and set it up if you have that capability. And like I said, Entra ID P1, so business premium does qualify. And you can go in and set this up. Now, effectively what you do is you tick a few boxes in the Microsoft environment in your backend in Entra ID, and then you would go and set some policies. So for example, where you can really use it, where I'm using it mainly, is also for configuring web content filtering. So what allows you to do is to create a content filtering policy. So let's say you don't want to go to a particular website, you don't want to go to social media, or you want to block, you know, pornography, and you don't want to block, you know, violence and hate sort of thing, you set up a policy, and then what you do is you link that policy you created with Global Secure Access to a conditional access policy. Now, when you look at some of the videos and the capabilities of this, it's really, really powerful in the fact that, you know, you can set up a baseline so that all your users are accessing the internet, you know, as normal, and then you can block, you know, them accessing certain areas, but then create another filtering policy that would allow certain users to have access to it. So it basically is that old concept that was used in a firewall, a hardware firewall on-prem to manage content and restrict information. But again, we all do this via conditional access, which is super powerful, works anywhere across any of your devices, no matter where they're located. So certainly recommend this. Now, the other thing I really like about this is the additional logging it provides. So once you set all this up and you have effectively this agent, so you install the agent on your devices, it then will route all the traffic through it and record it and capture it and log it. You can go in the back end now in Entra ID, and you can look at, you know, the websites that were visited, all sorts of really detailed information. And obviously you can then start feeding that up into your log analytics workspace and potentially into something like Sentinel as well. So at the moment, this service, this Global Secure Access, is currently basically available in preview if you have, like I said, Entra ID P1 or better, so which we get that with Business Premium. So I'd certainly recommend going in and having a look at this, setting this up. Now, we don't know what the pricing will be, whether it's an additional cost or what Microsoft may do. And again, because it's in preview, Microsoft reserves the right to change stuff. So again, keep an eye on this. I would suggest, you know, put it in, test it, play with it, get a feel for it, and then, you know, keep your eye on when it does go GA. But it certainly is very, very impressive, and it gives you ability to basically control traffic to Microsoft 365, to the internet, and also to private on-prem environments as well. And what effectively it does is provide filtering or conditional access capability, so you can apply policy now actually to the traffic that your devices are using. So traffic to the internet, traffic to Microsoft 365, traffic to on-prem and remote resources. You can now control that and set policies and also manage that or provide security with something like conditional access. So it's super, super powerful, super, super interesting if you need that sort of control. So again, go in and have a play with that, I would suggest, because it certainly has a lot of capabilities and it will solve a lot of problems, especially when people are moving around. They're not behind a hardware firewall sitting in an office. They're all over the place, multiple devices. And I also like the fact that you can set this up on your mobile devices, so Android and iOS as well, which means you can get that web filtering control right down to the device. So if you want to block social media on, you know, all the devices, in theory, we're able to do that as well with some of these policies. So again, super powerful in that capability. So once again, thank you very much for listening to this episode, and hopefully the news there has given you some idea of what Microsoft is up to. Again, remember that Security Copilot, or Copilot for Security, will be available on the 1st of April. We'll have a play with that. I think that's going to be a big game changer. We just need to get a better understanding of the price. There are some additional enhancements that came from that Microsoft Secure, which I would encourage people to go in, view, and get the updates, the latest from Microsoft information. But as always, if you have any comments, questions, theories, or what you'd like to see covered in future episodes, please let me know. Reach out on X, director@CIA, or via an email, director@CIAOps.com. But with that, I'll thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Microsoft 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selections available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.